Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is one of the times where I think people don't envy me. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. People say, hey, it's really tough being you. Listen, fools rush in, right? We're going to talk about sin. We're going to talk about sex sin, among other things. Why? Because Paul does. And we don't skip verses. We say, I'm going to talk about 1 Corinthians. We don't skip verses. There's some things here that if it were left up to me, I wouldn't talk about. Maybe ever. But it's not left up to me, is it? So I will say this. Anytime you find yourself at odds with what God's saying, that's just an opportunity to repent. It has been for me. You know, we can pout and throw a hissy fit. Oh, Adam said that, you know, I don't say anything. I'm just teaching the word of God. It's not my word. And I'm not trying to cop out, and I'm not trying to apologize. It is what it is in a very good way. Because when I find out, like, oh, like, so I go to the East Coast Pastors Conference. Do you know I don't fill my own teeth? You say, none of us do. I don't work on my own car. Some things other people do a lot better than me. I don't diagnose myself very well. Sorry. And if you think, well, you probably should. I examine myself. I mean, and I pray, you know, search me, O Lord, know me, try me. And I pray like you pray. And then he always takes opportunity like the East Coast Pastors Conference to diagnose things in my life. And when he does, that's a wonderful opportunity just to repent and get right with whatever it is that's ailing you. What's ailing you? I don't know something. You're not perfect any more than I'm perfect. So if today's word finds you in a place where you'd rather not be, I'm not going to call you up here. I want you to kneel down and pray, and I want you to turn and tell everyone you're... I don't do like that. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. Privately, you and God can work out all the issues. I don't have to know about them. And if God says, I want you to know about them, well, that's one thing, but he hasn't, he doesn't. So just you and God make things right. Wonderful opportunity, I say that. Now, let's just jump right in, but certainly not without prayer. Father, again, your word. And I want you to be glorified in showing up and changing hearts by your word. Now, I have understood that I can't change anybody, but your word can and your spirit can. And we want to change. We want to be new creations in Christ. If, Lord, if we're okay with this word and we're all in compliance, well, that's a wonderful thing as well. I have an idea, wherever this message goes on the internet, on Facebook, and on the radio program, whatever, Lord, I pray that you would do a work, because I know there are people who will hear it who have issues in some of these areas. So, Father, I pray that you would just be pleased to send your spirit ahead of your word and change the things in us that need to be changed, all of us. I mean, the whole online audience and everything. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Now, this isn't in a vacuum. This is a continuation of chapter 5. Do you remember when we had a man living in sex sin with his presumably his stepmother. Two issues in Corinth. One, we had this situation, and the second situation was the church was okay with it. Both of those were horrific, and both of those Paul dealt with. Now he's talking about, and we're going to find out, he's going to go full circle. First, he's talking about court cases involving Christians. Adam, are you telling me that that was a lawsuit in civil court? Well, I don't know that. Maybe, who knows, probably not, but it's all going to be the same. I think he's talking about another situation, but he's going to bring it back around to sex sin again. Lucky me, in this chapter. And he says, first of all, do you any of you have a matter against one another? Go to law before the unjust, not before the saints. Any of you having a problem with a Christian and you take him to court? He's going to say, no, that's way out of bounds. Adam, why is that way out of bounds? For the obvious reasons, we can settle that in-house. We don't want to parade our dirty laundry before the world. Two, the world, didn't we already talk about worldly wisdom? Listen, you're going to go to the world and try to get a judgment off them? They don't even know how many genders there are. And they don't know which gender should marry which gender. And we're going to expect... they don't even believe in God. They believe in a big bang. And they're going to all of a sudden wise up and give you a good verdict? Are you serious right now? That's ridiculous at the face of it. They don't even know how to define what a woman is. That question came up when the latest Supreme Court justice was nominated. She said, I'm not a biologist. She betrayed her own hand there. Why would it be biology if it's just a social compact, a social contract? Well, I've determined I'm a woman. Why would biology have to be part of it? Well, she betrayed her own hand then. And listen, Ms. Justice, you're going to make law depending on men and women and all this stuff, and you can't define one of them? So that's all shameful, and that's all sad, and that's all. But when we go and we try to get someone to make a court decision out of that, look, let's just keep going. Don't you know, and he's going to say this like six times in this chapter, don't you know, verse 3, know ye not, verse 9, know ye not, verse 15, know ye not, and verse 19, what, know ye not? It's a teaching, hey, you should know this, and how is it that you don't know this, is kind of what he's saying, and he's saying it in kind of a shameful way. You should know this by now. And you Corinthians, by the way, he's saying something that you do know, but you haven't acted on it. God help us. He's saying this in the sense of like, you do know this. How come it's not part of your plan? How come it's not part of your lifestyle? How come you haven't incorporated this into, is kind of the idea. And that's why I think like, hey, you know this stuff. But have we done this stuff? Let's keep going. Don't you know the saints shall judge the world? Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it says so. If the world shall be judged by you, the whole world, can't you judge the smallest matters? You know, the answer is obviously, well, yeah. I mean, well, the whole world's going to be judged by us. Can't we take care of, like, you know, little silly business? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We're going to judge angels? Yeah. Why? It says so. Presumably, fallen angels. Right? What's the basis of judgment? Hey, look, Lucifer, you going to get to judge him? Or you have your own angel that's been hassling you? That's stopping you from doing what God's called you to do, you're going to be able to judge him? I don't know, but here's the basis for judgment, if you ask me. You were there. You were there when God created. I read it in my Bible. The morning stars sang together. You were right there. And you decided to rebel against God. Listen, I'm made out of dirt. I wasn't there when God created. I had to take that on faith. And I've lived my life in faith, believing God created. You were right there. You saw it. And you rebelled? Are you kidding me right now? That's a basis for judgment right there, isn't it? Don't you think so? Because I think so. Listen, let me get this straight now. Let me get this straight. You're rebelling against him and you think you're going to win? Yeah, we can judge angels. I don't know if it's like, you think of the judges at the Olympics, like someone's doing gymnast, is doing a floor exercise. We all 9.8, 9.7, you know. I didn't like that one's halo. It was a little crooked, you know. I'm just giving them 9.9. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's judged with the idea of condemning. That's what I think it is, right? The other part just seems silly, right? I think it's fallen angels, and I think the basis is your faith versus their sight. Okay, Satan had a problem with pride. I want to be like the Most High God. Why am I leading in worship to him? I should be the one who's worshiped. Okay, you got a pride problem. I see that. What about all those other ones you talked into? What is their issue? A third of, if you think of Revelation as a third of the stars falling from heaven, a third of the angels that rebel with Satan, what's that number? Big. Myriads. Big number. I don't know. I get to talk to them and say, what was the thought process here? What are you thinking? I'm going to judge angels. You are too. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. You're going to judge the world. You're going to judge angels. Can't you take care of these silly little matters? That's what he's saying. If then you have judgments and things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Now, there's a debate over what that says. This is what I think it says. You got to be an elder? No. Got to be a deacon? No. Got to be saved? Well, that goes without saying. They're in the church. I'm going to find a seven-year-old who knows the Lord and set them over these matters because they can figure it out. Now, the Supreme Court of America can't determine what is art and what is pornography. Our seven-year-olds can, and they'll get it right 10 times out of 10. Is this art or is this nasty? That's nasty. They would get it right. The Supremes can't. I think once you get a robe on you, you lose half your mind. And now, I see sometimes they get it right. Roe v. Wade, overturning Roe v. Wade. Good, good. I'll give you props on that. That was good. But how did Roe v. Wade get to be law in the first place? Swing and a miss. What happened to wisdom? I think that if a baby's inside in utero, mom should be able to take care of that through 9 months, right? What is the thinking process there? What was ever the thinking process? So we go into the world, we want their judgment? No thanks. We get it enough. Now, some of you are doing this. Really, I've never sued a Christian. Maybe not sued, but some Christians are doing this on Facebook. Let's get our dirty laundry out there. Let's have everyone vote. Let's get our posse together, and let's string up any Christian who stands in our way. The issues are homosexuality in the church and judging sin. And all things like that. And it's on Facebook all the time. And supposed, and maybe real Christians are looking to get their, like I say, their posse behind them and seen it. Why do we want their opinion like it counts? I remember last week we were talking about we live in an upside down world. Everything they believe, just think the opposite, and you'll probably be right in most every case. and then we want them all of a sudden to validate our viewpoint, like as if their viewpoint, as if their ideas mean anything at all. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. They do have these different committees that arbitrate when people come up with real stuff. That they'll sign off like, yeah, well, I got a real problem, and I don't know what to do with it. I can't just let it go. It's a real issue, and they take it to a Christian arbitrator and say, we'll live with whatever they come up with. I think that's wonderful for those things that just have to be addressed. One of the questions are, is there situations where are there exclusions to this principle that Paul's setting forth? Something for you to think about, something you pray about. I'm not going to address it right now. But there are people who can judge between brethren. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. This is wrong, he's saying, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? If you win in your lawsuit, you've already lost by the fact you had a lawsuit. That's what he's saying. Be defrauded. So my neighbor, because they don't know where the property line is, he put a garden in, and his last row of potatoes is on my property. And I'm like, what does he think he is? So I'm taking him to court. We'll fix this. This is totally hypothetical, okay? I'm just giving you a for instance, right? Who does he think he is? He's taking over my land. Adam, relax. It's potatoes. Your backyard is going to burn, and with those potatoes and everything else is earmarked for destruction. What are you getting all worked up about, a little strip of land? Well, that's my land. He has no right to it. I can't let it go. Well, then I have to take it to a church. I have to take it to a... What if he's not a Christian? All bets are off. All bets are off. We're not suggesting anything. He's not talking about that situation. You pray and you do what God, you think God's called you to do. Me? In this situation that I'm talking about, he's a Christian man. I'm going to go to him and say, hey, you're over. And maybe he'll say, I didn't realize. Hey, the potatoes are yours. And I'm like, cool, you know, because I like potatoes. And we've worked it out. And no judges are involved or anything. Or maybe he'll say, well, I think the line's over here and stuff. Maybe we have to hire somebody and get the line straightened out. And I want to love him. I want it the best for him. I want to bless him. But worst comes to worst, listen, maybe I'll hire somebody, and he'll say, no, it's where Adam thinks, that's where the line is. And I'll say, and he says, I don't care, I'm not moving it. I've already planted, you live with it. I'll live with it. I'd rather be defrauded. Wouldn't you? I don't want to go to court. I don't want to. Sometimes that's the only remedy a person has. I get that. But he's talking about, we have problems with ministries and logos and copyrights and theology. And then there's situations too, you know, other things as well. What about, a supposed Christian who has done something really heinous, beat his wife or done something illegal? What do? Just take it to the church. No, sometimes the long arm of the law has to get involved. I know that there are Christian pastors who have said, your husband's a Christian, you can't, that's it, you just have to live with it. You're shaking your head? Good, that's the right response. You'll never hear this pastor say that. Sometimes you have to get the long arm of the law involved. And there are situations, I don't have to say them from this pulpit. You know that we have got the arm of the law involved. But let's keep moving. You do wrong and you defraud, and that your brother. Don't you know this? This is an important don't you know. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What do you mean? What do you mean? We're all unrighteous. Relax. Let me say the whole thing, okay? Don't get too worked up. Let's let all the dust settle in place before we... Yes, we're all unrighteous. God came and he saved the unrighteous, okay? Don't be deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I have to go through the list because it's King James, and it's not always obvious what's being said. A fornicator is someone who's having sex outside of marriage. That's what it is, okay? Well, we're planning on getting married. And in the interim, you're fornicating. Just so you know, I mean, I'm not going to, one, edit this in such a way that your sin's okay. You can count on that. Two, I'm not going to apologize for what it says. I don't edit the Word of God. I teach the Word of God. And that's the one thing you can count on. That's the one thing you can count on me. I do teach the Word of God. Teach what it says. The unrighteous, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. For instance, fornicators. No, idolaters, somebody who worships an idol. Very often, sex sin is an idol, by the way. Because I think we take comfort in the fact that we don't have a little statue of Buddha that we bow down to, burn incense, and say, "Thou art my God." I never met a person who does that. I never met a Christian person who does that. So we're all in the clear. Not so fast, okay? I think all of our sin, when you peel the onion back, I think it's always a problem with idolatry. What's the most important to us? I think it's always, there's always an idolatrous element. Can I put it that way? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers. Someone having sex outside of marriage with somebody else. If you're married, you have a sex partner. Praise God. We're going to talk about that at length next week in chapter 7. Here, I'll leave it alone for now. I think adultery is straightforward. Nor effeminate. So you have a guy, he's got a lisp and he likes poetry, he's going to hell. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about a homosexual who takes the female part. I don't know if I don't have any other way to say it. Sorry if that, I'm not sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry if I have to be that blunt, but I want us to understand something. Nor abuses of themselves with mankind. That's the homosexual male. Okay? So he's taking both parts of the homosexual relationship and saying, yeah, not heaven bound. There are whole websites given to, and there are people who, it's like the third rail. I'm not touching it. I'm not going there. Homosexuality, yeah, we don't discuss that. Yeah, whatever. And when we do discuss it, I'm going to try to soften it to such a way that I'm not going to get any hate email or no one's going to call me up and yelling at me or anything. No. It's a sin, has been a sin, will continue to be a sin. It doesn't change. That's the way the Bible is. America changed during my lifetime. God didn't change with it. And if we all adopt that, hey, it's just another, let them have their fun, whatever. If we all adopt that, these words don't magically disappear from the page. You'll notice that in your reading. And by the way, what do I think? I think it's a sin. I think homosexual sex is a sin. Is same-sex attraction a sin, Adam? Because I was born that way. I don't know. I don't have that issue in my life. I don't know if that's something that Christian counselors fix. I'm saying homosexual sex is definitely a sin. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Same-sex attraction, somebody more skilled than me. If I find a verse that says that, I will definitely teach that verse. Okay? I think lust is a problem, though. That's definitely a sin. Okay? But he doesn't mention that here, so we won't, for right now, we don't have to go there. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, straightforward, nor covetous, straightforward, nor drunkards. Well, no, Adam, they're not. Drunkards isn't a sin. That's a sickness. They're alcoholics, and that's a sickness. Paul doesn't think so. What a caveman he is. It's the only sin that we have. It's a really weird situation. It really, really is. You know, it's a sickness. And it's like if a drunkard sneezes on you, you're going to become a drunk also. It's a sickness, right? No, it's a sin. It's a sin. I like that because we can deal with sin. Sickness, if you have allergies, I recommend honey. It probably will work. It did with mine. I don't know that it will work. I know that God will deliver me from sin. He may or may not deliver me from allergies. I don't have it. You know what I mean? Sin is good because it's not good. Someone could take that and run with it. Sin is it. There's a way we can fix sin. But if we say, no, you're just born that way, and you. Do some people have more of a propensity to alcohol than others? I'm sure. Me, I have a very addictive personality. I really do. I used to have alcohol in my lifestyle back before I got saved. And then after I got saved, I had it in my lifestyle for a while. Not drunkenness, but I used to partake but I found out that Christians and non-Christians alike have a big problem with it. So I just thought, and stopped. Did God deliver me from that? I think he did in the sense of like, show me that it just wasn't a big issue in my life. And now I don't think it's a problem. I don't have that siren call. Adam, come on, here it is. Happiness in a bottle. I don't have that. I thank God that I'm not given to that. And if some are, you have to really lean in on Jesus Christ more than the rest of us do. That's the issue. That's the answer. Nor drunkards, nor revilers. What's a reviler? Abusive person. Physically? Well, I looked at one. It's just abusive. I looked at one and it talked about verbal abusiveness. And I looked at another and it talked about physical abusiveness. Just abusive. Okay? You can put that in any category you want. Nor extortioners, someone who's extorting money, someone like who's corruptly, hey, I know this about you, unless you pay me off, guess what? It's not going to go well with you. These people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wait, Adam, what? Yeah, they don't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. These people do not inherit the kingdom of God. Adam, that's pretty harsh. I mean, I know Bible stories where some of these people do inherit the kingdom of God. Adulterers, like David, for instance. So I want you to amend your thinking a little bit. Well, I will. I will. I'm just going to look at the next verse, okay? I just want you to understand. I live in these things. I traffic in these things. My life is about these things, but I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. If this is your life, the Bible says you're not going to the kingdom of God. Now, this is why I said, wait till all the dust settles. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I want you to understand something. Some were. If we all have our history. We were all in this place. Don't act all sanctimonious in front of us. Don't act all holier than thou. Why? Because we know you're not. We know that you were wrestling with these things. God saved you from something, and maybe this list included your sin. Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't matter, because if your issues were pride and lust and lasciviousness, you see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what your issue was. God saved you from it, and we're not trafficking in, we're not living in lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. I'm not living in any kind of sin, never mind sex sin, which a lot of this is, but not all of it is. To live in this stuff is to live a debauched, sinful, wicked life is to show everyone I'm not really a new creation in Christ. Now, do we slip into these behaviors from time to time? I'll give you that. I've seen it. I know this for a fact. And what does the child of God do when he finds himself in these situations? We repent. We pray to God for strength, and we turn from our wickedness. We realize that God died. Jesus Christ came to earth and died for these wicked things, and we don't just revel in them. We don't just let ourselves stay there. That's the issue. Some of you were these things, but you're not now. Praise Jesus. Isn't he awesome? He saved you from the penalty of these things. And now he's working in you and he's saving you from the power of these things. Don't come to me and say, oh, I just can't. Stop it. Please, stop it. Just stop that. Just shake your head and the idea falls right out. Stop it. The Spirit of God is given to us to deliver us from the power of sin over us. And maybe you're never quite free. Maybe you'll always come to Jesus. And maybe you'll have that, like I say, same-sex attraction or something like that, or lust. And maybe that's the weakness in your life where we're always running to Jesus. Always run to Jesus. Is there a promise that he's going to deliver you from, that Satan's never going to come to you and never going to tempt you? Do you see that in the scripture? Because I don't. I don't. Whatever, resist. Whatever it takes, resist. I think, and this other scripture, we looked at Romans chapter 6 when we were there. Such were some of you, but you're washed. Somebody say amen. But ye are sanctified. Now that means to be set apart for holy purpose. But ye are justified, just as if you'd never sinned. Isn't Jesus awesome? So you can sit around and say, well, I'm this, and you're picking on me, and yet stop it. Jesus has given you deliverance over these things. Praise his holy name. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. I want you to understand something. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call Jesus my Savior. Does that justify me? Yeah. Yeah. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That happened to me? Yeah. Am I justified in the name of the Lord Jesus? Yeah. What else has happened to me? And you? And by the Spirit of our Lord. The Spirit of God has been given to us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know this for a fact. Satan comes and he still tempts me. You think, that's ridiculous. You're a Calvary Chapel pastor. Yeah, he doesn't care or know or something. He just thinks he can have his way. And he still, well, probably not him, but one of his henchmen, whoever is assigned to my case, right? He comes and he tempts me. Oh, by the way, I'm going to judge him. I'll tell you what. My judgment is going to be physical, too. I'm going to be walking all over his face with my cleats on. Just, it's going to be bad. He's going to have a bad day. Who do you think you are? Trying to get me to stop serving God. Ridiculous. Now, all things are lawful unto me. But not all things are expedient. Is he talking about the same thing? Just hope, put it on the back burner of your brain. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Is that important? Very. And I'm going to give you an example. Meat's for the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Wait, what? Yeah. There's an old saying. It's in Corinth. Okay, the body's for food. I mean, the belly's for food. Food is for the belly. Match made in heaven. So I'm going to take some of this. I'm going to put it in here. Everybody's happy. The food's happy because I used it for the purpose that it was intended for. And my belly's happy because I got food in it. Yay. Ladies never do that. Guys do that. Wonderful. Hey. Sex for the body, body for sex. Listen, eating food, it's just a simple biological function. I was hungry, so I ate. What's the problem? Listen, I had a itch I needed to have scratched. What's the problem? Same thing. It's the exact same thing. That's what he's saying. That's what he's not saying. He's saying the opposite of that. That's what he's not saying. That's what they're saying, and he's countering it. He's saying this. Meat's for the belly for meat. Yeah, I get that. But God shall destroy both it and them. It's only a temporary situation, you eating food, by the way. Now, the body is not for fornication, as some of you are saying, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, he's going to press this. So, because we're all back in chapter 9. Hey, I've got this itch. It's a simple biological function. Why are we getting all worked up about it? And he's saying, well, let me tell you why we're getting all worked up about it. All things are lawful for me, not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me. I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. And he gives an example. Food. And by the way, food's wonderful, servant. It's not a good master. I don't want addiction any area of my life. Okay? Fair enough? There's no part of my life where I want the thing to be more important than the giver of the thing. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us up by his own power. Now all of a sudden he's talking about the resurrection. Paul, focus, we're talking about sex, and you're over talking about resurrection. That's a question on the homework. What's he talking about? God's not the God of just our spirit, or just our soul, or the soul and spirit. He's the God of our body also. And he's mentioning the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. What did he use? His physical body. It's okay, it's a resurrected body. I don't know what the DNA looks like. I know this, it's not blood drive anymore. His blood was poured out at Calvary. And he says, and he doesn't say, hey, handle me. I got flesh and blood here. He said, I got flesh and bone. It's a different system. I don't know exactly. I can't really. I didn't have a chance to examine him. No earthly physician did. Nobody drew blood. Nobody figured out what. It's a different body, I'll tell you that, but it's a body. He ate fish and honeycomb. By the way, yum. While we're on the subject, both of those, yum. God has raised up the Lord, and he's going to raise us up by his own power. Don't you understand this? Know ye not, again, verse 15, that your bodies are the members of Christ. Just like God raised up his body, he's going to raise up your body. That's why he's talking about resurrection in verse 14. Shall I then take the members of Christ? It's not just eating meat. It's not a simple biological function. Shall I take the members of Christ, make them the members of a harlot? What's a harlot? It's a prostitute. God forbid. So, the guy goes extramarital and just decides like, I got this itch. I'm on the road, salesman, needs to be scratched. Well, I'm just going to go to the local brothel and I'm going to rent love for a half hour or so like this. Are you insane? Are you crazy? Okay. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ, make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. I want you to understand, this is a stark example he's given us. But anytime we're involved in sin, we're involving Jesus Christ. We're dragging him into the sin that we're involved with. And that should make the decisions before we get involved in that sin readily apparent what we should or shouldn't do. Again, it's never an issue of I don't know or I didn't know better. I'll give people a hall pass. You know, we minister to Tuesday night group and stuff like that. And they come out of drugs and alcohol, and they don't know everything this book has to teach. And as it comes, illumines, as they understand more and more, it should affect outcomes and behaviors more and more. It did in most all of our lives, wherever God found us. Did he save us because we were perfect? Far from it. We become perfect, we became mature in Christ, following what the Word said, given the power by the Spirit of God. He that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. So what am I supposed to do, Adam? I mean, I still have these needs. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Flee fornication. Turn tail and run like a crazy person. That's what you're supposed to do. He gives us the answers, an open book test. It's not hard. It's not undecipherable. Flee fornication. We, you know, all of us love Joseph. Every one of us does. He's in Potiphar's house. I think his wife was probably very attractive. He's in a position of power, Potiphar is, that attracts. I mean, he can have, like, the pick of the litter. I'm not trying to be crass or anything else. Joseph's at an age where his body is ringing with hormones, and he's at that. And what's more, he could say, you know what? God, I don't owe God anything. I'm trying to be faithful, trying to live my life. Now I'm here in Egypt. Thanks. Thank you. The reason I say that, because some of us think that if God doesn't do what we want him to, we get a free sin. Figure out why God's doing what he's doing in your life. Pray. He'll tell you he's a good God. If anyone lack wisdom, right? But you don't get a free sin. That's only going to make things worse. Choose to sin, choose to suffer. I don't know why these things are happening in my life. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I prayed and he didn't go. But that doesn't say I get a chance to sin now. Joseph could have justified that. Hey, I serve God and this is what I get? But he didn't. He said, listen, lady, I ain't sinning against God. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sinning against your husband. So take your head and shake it till the idea falls right out. This is not going to happen. And we love Joseph. We love Joseph. She's a lie with me. Sleep with me is what she's saying. Let's have... No. And what part of no are you struggling with, lady? She takes hold of his garment. He runs. He leaves his garment with her. We love that. Do you realize if he had succumbed to her temptations, you wouldn't know the name Joseph? God is looking for a man who he can, his eyes go to and fro, searching the whole man on which the whole earth for a man which can show himself mighty on his behalf. He found one in Joseph, and Joseph wrought a great deliverance. God would have found somebody else. God's going to do what God's going to do. But Joseph got to be the guy. Why? Abstain from fornication. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Really? Yeah, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, that you have of God, and ye are not your own? Now this is really, really important. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We looked in chapter 3. Your body collectively, plural, was the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now he's saying individually, okay, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the application? Well, there's a lot of applications, but I'm going to focus on the one that he focuses on. Flee fornication. Run. When do you stop running? I don't know. When you stop... There's no opportunity to commit fornication anymore. And then you can just stop and get a break and keep your running shoes on. You might need them again. Having defeated Satan in this arena once doesn't mean you're good forever. He comes at us and he tempts us, and then we're like, no way, ain't happening. And then he's like, I tried. And he gives up. He's relentless. He's relentless. You defeat him once doesn't mean he won't be back. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, he will be. But you're still a temple of God. The word is naos in the Greek. It's not just like the temple courts. It's the holy place where the presence of God dwells. Is this the most remarkable verse maybe in the Bible? Your body, this meat, this frame, this The Spirit of the living God dwells in you. If you don't know that's remarkable, I don't. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. You mean God lives right here? Yeah. The very presence of God. Do we have to summon him? Call him from heaven? Come on, hurry up. It's getting bad. No, he's right as handy as he needs to be. Incredible. Incredible. Now, I might refrain from living with somebody as sinful as I am. God has no problem with that. I'm not dragging him down. He's pulling me up to his presence. That's the way he wants it. Do I mess up? Oh, let's not even go there. I'm like you. What does he do? Come on, Adam. Come on. Encouragement. He's my number one fan. Does it get any better than that? I tell you, it's an encouraging message. Sin's going to kill you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Sin's going to kill you. It is just going to, it's ripping you off. You're suffering needlessly. God gave us this victory. He gave us this area in our life, and we give it back to Satan for what? No good reason. Figure this out. In the all the know you nots, figure this out. You're bought with a price. What is the price? You're the most expensive entity in the universe. What you were purchased with is the blood of Jesus Christ. You're bought with a price. Therefore, because of that, because you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to look at some pornography now. No. 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 You're God's. You have no right. I'm going to steal. I'm going to commit some, I'm going to do one of the things here, drunkard, abusive, right? No. 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 I purchased you. I get to do with your body what I want to do. And I tell you what I want to do with your body. God says, glorify myself and bless you in the process. The things he has for us are not horrible things. Satan would tell us they were, but he always lies. Why do we listen to him? He always lies. He can't even ever say something that's even halfway true. Well, he does say things that are halfway true. Watch out the half that's not true. That's the problem, okay? Okay, we'll end it there. Let's worship and let's listen. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Wonderful. We'll revisit Wednesday night. Wonderful things. He bought us with a price. He's delivered us from sin. We don't have to live like that. As a matter of fact, if we're living like that, did you lose your salvation? Did you ever have it? I don't want to go there. I just want to say that we're past that. We're delivered from that. I'm not saying we're living perfect lives. We do two things, and stay with me, okay? We do two things, and both of them are wrong. We look at stuff that God has forgiven us for in the past, and we beat ourselves up mercilessly about things that God has already forgiven us for. Why? What benefit is that? Or we look at the sin we're committing now, and we say, psh, no big deal. Either one of those things is hugely wrong and destructive. Live in his forgiveness. Praise him for his forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing to not be condemned. And then when you do wrong, flee to him. He's more willing to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. He wants to reestablish that connection, set you on fire again, and set you about his business. Let's pray. Father, wonderful word. Tough. We are talking about things that, frankly, I'd rather not talk about. But this is where we live. This is what we need to know. In your word, we don't apologize for it. We love it. We live in it. And Lord, if this word finds us at odds with you, we pray you would help us to repent and become on the same page with you. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.